B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So if we do have any possibility of having fans in the stands as we return at some point, it would be because of that great work of our elected officials and all of the citizens who have respected the medical experts. So we are hopeful to have fans at some point. We need fans at Fenway Park. Our fans give us a competitive advantage. I can tell you there are clubs around Major League Baseball that are anticipating having fans in their ballparks. It's an incredibly important part of our business. It's an incredibly important part of our baseball operation. So we would like to get to that point, but I can't tell you when that would happen. But we are working through the protocols that would be required to pursue that opportunity someday in the future.
That's the president of the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy. I mean, cut the crap, Sam. This is about money. That's what this is about.
No, it's competitive edge, Beetle.
It's about your money.
You've been to baseball games.
It's about the money. Isn't it convenient how the president of a team comes out the day after they set the schedule and set the season and 2 days after the last proposal was exchanged with the Players Association, that they come out and start talking about selling tickets and selling beers and selling hot dogs?
Not a freaking peep prior.
It's funny how this didn't get mentioned on, like, I don't know, Monday? Come on. It's about trying to recoup a little bit of money.
It's funny. Nightingale, Rosenthal, none of those guys had this. You know, they weren't. I guess they weren't talking about that, huh?
Never came up, apparently.
Yeah.
Never came
funny.
Up. So I guess that's good news if you want to get to Fenway this year. You may have an opportunity to do it. Don't know how many people they're going to let in, but you might have a chance to go to a ball game. That could happen. And you can go over there and pay, you know, $12 for a beer and a bag of peanuts. Like, have at it.
If you're
allowed
to.
They need their money. They need their money right now.
You're going to be allowed to pour beers and serve people?
I have no idea. I don't
know. So. I mean, you can do it at a restaurant, right? Think about that. Like, you go to restaurants now. Like, why wouldn't you be able to do it there?
Yep. So Kennedy, of course, you know, warned that it's just a hope of his. They're not saying that it's something that they know is going to happen. If it does happen, it would not be until September. But that's a long time between now and then, obviously.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But, competitive. It's a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
Stop it with the competitive advantage. It's about trying to sell some hot dogs and get some ticket revenue. That's what that's about. It's about John Henry preparing for the grievance to be filed this offseason.
Competitive advantage. Crowd noise. What's it, intimidate the pitcher?
Yeah, we're going to let 5,000 fans in. Big competitive advantage there.
Dennis Drinkwater if he can't sit in that first row. Denny, you're going to have to back up to row four, pal.
Well, you know what's going to happen is these opportunities, if they happen, will be marketed as exclusive, as an exclusive opportunity
right. That
you must pay a premium for. That's what's going to happen. And listen, I don't blame him for that. This is America. You got to make money. You got to try and get creative and make money. It's fine. But you know that's what's going to happen. Ooh, exclusive, limited opportunity for you to see the Red Sox in a historic pandemic time. Like,
you could say you were there.
Buy a brick. You know, that's what it is. Don't forget who the Red Sox are at heart. That's all I'm saying. Like, don't forget that. Buy a brick, please. Fenway Park 2020. You can say you were there. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
Do they reference the last time they won a World Series during a pandemic was 1918? Do they use that in the history of the promos?
Oh, hell yes.
Babe Ruth was on the team.
Yes.
pandemic exclusive.
Hardy, old-time baseball voice, please. This kind of action hasn't been seen in a century.
102 years.
And yes, in over 50 years have we never seen this kind of excitement at the old ballpark.
617-779-0985. Alan is in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hello. Sam Kennedy, first of all, is in the wrong profession. He should be a used car salesman. I am so sick of listening to him, and John Henry and Tom Warner have done this for the world and this for the country, and we're just so grateful for them. They're going to donate another bar. I mean, does he think he's fooling anybody with this baloney? I mean, Warner and Henry can't talk, so he's the spokesman. He's the president of what? What does he do other than sling baloney?
I would say the business side. If we're having a serious conversation about it, it's the business aspects of the team.
Yeah. Well, it might be the business, but I mean, this is so silly. Yeah, he's worried about. Of course, he's worried about fans and the $13 warm beers and the horrible. Anyone who bought a hot dog there, you can go to Costco and get one for $1.50. It's better than the garbage they serve there.
Don't undersell those Costco hot dogs.
From what I hear, Costco still has the onions, Alan. You can't even get the onions at Fenway anymore. It's been out for years.
You can't get onions?
No, they did away with them years ago now.
You can't have relish and onions. You get relish.
No onions. No onions.
Year I took my daughter and son-in-law, my wife, and they all wanted, of course, they wanted a legal chowder. It was like $400 to get legal clam chowder there. I mean, it's the most ridiculous. But they can't afford Mookie Betts. That's what the whole crux of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned. That they can't afford. You know. And one other question I have for you gentlemen. Who do you think is going to be missed more, Mookie Betts by the Red Sox or Tom Brady by the Patriots?
Ooh, I would just say based on age, that has to be Betts. Mookie Betts. Has
Long-term
to be Betts.
Betts. Long-term Betts.
No doubt about it. I
the best
mean,
thing
Betts,
you got Betts coach, is, you got the coach, right? I mean, Belichick.
Betts is getting better. Brady's getting worse.
Yeah, but short-term, it's Brady. This season, it's Brady.
Yeah, yes. I would agree with that. You know, for the 2020 season.
2020 season, Brady, long-term quarter, Betts.
But that's not necessarily because of how good they are. I mean, I think Betts is better at his sport now than Brady is at his. But as an individual in baseball, you can't impact the outcome of the season to the degree that a quarterback can in football.
Especially that guy. And how about him being back to his maniacal self as far as the workouts? Here we are talking about Tatum going out of his way to golf, and here's Brady after he went 6, sneaking in the stadiums, trying to get guys together, and still doing it after the NFLPA told him don't do it. Like, that's crazy, Brady.
I saw something yesterday about, I think it was NBC Sports Boston on Twitter, said you can only pick one, and it was 4 athletes in town that you could, you know, you can only have one guy. It was Tatum, Bogarts, Edelman, and Pastrnak were the 4 choices. And my immediate thought was, which one is not like the other? That would be Edelman, because Edelman is much older and at the end of his career, whereas these other guys are sort of in the beginning to the start of their prime of their career. But I
pick him as far as what?
I bring it up. Like, you can only have one in the town. Like, the other guys,
okay.
3 don't exist. You know, I would just say it's an unfair question, and this is why I thought of it. Yeah, you could. I'm looking at it now. It was a tweet yesterday from NBC Sports Boston. You can only keep one.
Oh, it's like a Twitter challenge.
It is. Yeah, it's interesting. Zoe doesn't know much about those. Bogarts. It was Tatum, Pastrnak, Edelman.
You two to see how fast you can eat a cucumber together.
It's not fair. It's not fair because Pastrnak is amazing. I love Bogarts. I mean, sort of my personal favorites. I think Bogarts is my favorite Boston athlete right now. But Tatum is so good.
It should be Tatum.
It has to be Tatum.
It has
the smart
to be Tatum.
Choice
it
is
should
Tatum.
Be Tatum.
You and can't why, not that, pick
that's
Tatum.
That's the scary thing is you hesitate.
I don't hesitate.
No, but you should be picking Tatum, but like,
it's Tatum or Pastrnak.
It should be.
And it's because Bogarts, as a singular player on a baseball team, can't impact the outcomes to the degree that Jason Tatum can. And the same is true of Pastrnak. He can't impact.
Right.
He can't impact a season the way one star player on an NBA team can.
Yeah, but
that's unfair.
But he's the closest. Yeah, much more so. Much more.
I don't
so
think he's
than...
close. Let me say, okay, he's fine. He can be the closest. He's not close. And by the way, I think that's a different debate. But if you're a middle of the order bat on a baseball team, and you hit for power, you hit for average. Like, I don't know. I don't know how a goal scorer is any more important than that.
Well, I don't. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good singular bats on teams. If you're the only one, it's not going to do much for you. Middle of the order bat with nobody on base, who cares? But one guy skating out there on the top line and is a legitimate threat every time he steps onto the ice, regardless of who he's playing with or, you know, what other shifts are doing. Yeah, I would say it's a close one too between Tatum and Pastrnak.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Don't forget, my boy Xander was
you
top
love
five
Xander
in MVP Bogarts.
I get it. I know.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Him.
He's not just some good player.
No, he's very good.
I'm not sure he gets enough credit around here because of the way the Red Sox have sort of gone in terms of the capturing people's minds and imaginations and passion around here. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We talked about the Red Sox draft when it happened and wondered if they were getting cheap in the draft. That is not what happened. They did not get cheap. So, Alan, although we criticize them for not being able to afford Mookie Betts, they can definitely afford their draft picks. I'll tell you why next.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, so.
Hey.
Who is your best teammate, best name?
Like Harry Colin.
What is it?
Harry Colin.
That's like funniest name.
Yeah.
I mean, like intimidating name. Badass name. Do you ever have anyone who had a great name? Like, oh, that guy sounds like a football player.
Receiver I played with in Maryland. Azizuddin Abdur-Rauf. Kid could fly.
How about a name like really? Blaze Jordan?
That's badass.
What a name.
Who's the hockey guy? Well, first of Vander
all,
Kane, right? That's a badass name. Vander
okay.
Kane.
Vander yeah. Kane.
That's like yeah. Vander Holyfield's a great name, you know? Yeah.
Blaze Jordan is the guy who was picked at 89. Guy, kid. 89th overall pick. His slot
easy there,
value.
Panama Red.
Oh, Beetle, he's also badass. He's also badass because he hit a ball out of Texas Rangers ballpark at 11.
What?
Well, it didn't stick around. I mean, well, listen, if he was that amazing, he would have been picked higher than 89th in the draft.
He's a prodigious home run hitter. Like, he was a 13-year-old hitting 500-foot bombs.
What good is that now?
What's that?
Like, what good is that now, though? So he hit a batting practice 500-foot bomb at 13. Awesome. Like, that doesn't get you to the major leagues. That's not what got him here.
I'm just saying that makes him badass along with his name.
That gets him on the map. That gets you noticed.
Well, he was the 89th overall pick, and that slot in the MLB draft was $667,000. That's the signing bonus.
Mm.
He was, I believe, looking at Mississippi State, right? I think that's where he was going to go. Mississippi State. The Red Sox showed up and said, no, actually, we're going to give you a $1.75 million signing bonus, more than a million more than your slot value. How do you like that?
Yeah, I'd say don't go Mississippi State.
And he signed. And here he is. And so that is what the play was by the Red Sox in the draft after taking a guy in the first round who was going to sign below slot. They then later went and got guys and paid them over slot is what they did. And so now we have the full picture now of what Chaim Bloom was doing. He was spreading out his money, not saving money. That's what the Red Sox did. And what it allows them to do is guarantee they can get someone like Blaze Jordan. And they can get Blaze Jordan, who may have slipped to 89 because he was planning on going to college. They can go after him. There were still reports saying, he won't sign. He's not going to sign. Well, the Red Sox gave him an extra $1 million, and he signed. And so that's a – so it's unfair to say that he's the 89th overall pick and that's what his talent represents, because he's actually better than the 89th overall pick, right? He's better than that. He would have been drafted sooner if he was outwardly willing to sign. They get a better player later, and they overpay. And what you know what else that does, though? It guarantees that these guys are coming to them and in their system right away. In terms of restocking the farm system, they're actually able to do it sooner, quicker, because they went this route. So I like it. I like it. They didn't cheap out. They were definitely not cheaping out. That's a good sign. Good sign for the Red Sox.
This is where Bloom's got to make his impact known, right? You lose a guy like Mookie Betts. You make an organizational decision that you're not going to commit that type of money. You better get creative in other ways that you build your team, you know, especially since the former GM pretty much gave away your entire farm system. So you and try to keep as many of the decent guys, your Bogarts types, your Devers, you know, your Ben attending, see what you get out of Martinez this year, and keep your fingers crossed for Chris Sale when he comes back. And maybe you're building something here for the future. You hope.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I think talking baseball probably requires more Zoe doing Maz. No? Anyone? Anyone
well,
up
sure.
for that? Is anyone up for a little bit of Hardy?
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The answer to that is never no.
The answer to that will always be yes on this very show. Should we go back to the story, the Q&A with Mike Felger? I think
yes,
that's a great
the
jumping
Mike
off
Felger Q&A, yes.
All right, one of the other questions from Barrett Sports Media. This was the question. Mike Thomas once called you the most polarizing person in Boston radio.
Jesus, did he?
Do you agree? Mike Felger's answer.
No.
I feel like I've gotten wimpier as I've gotten older.
Bingo.
I can't rank it. I don't know if I'm as polarizing as I used to be.
Humble.
But it's
typical humble Felger.
He says, but it's not for me to say. But I think Felger and Maz has a button-pushing quality, because my hate mail is still prodigious no matter what it is I say.
Well, that's because Jimmy gives it out every day. You know, any issues that a caller has or somebody, you know, that's got a problem, at Felger 985.
Here's my favorite part of this one. Instead of Maz commentary following the answer, we have commentary from former program director Mike Thomas and current program director Rick Radzik.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Radzik's in on this.
Here's what Mike Thomas said. He said, I would much rather have somebody like Mike Felger, where you occasionally need to say, we have to dial it back a bit, than someone you need to push and challenge. Mike is self-motivated. He lives for sports radio and is clearly one of the best in the country at it. Maybe in his mind, he thinks he's getting softer. Things happen when you turn 50. But I would never categorize Mike Felger as being soft. Anyone catch the 50 dig there? That felt like a dig.
That's ageism right there.
Dig, 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 dig.
Getting old, buddy.
MT.
Yeah, what,
MT dishing out a compliment. But then
you know what that is?
Maybe
you
I should dial is? It back a bit and remind that's, him that he's now over the age of 50.
That's Belichick Brady stuff right there.
That felt like a little needling is what it felt like.
We know the contract status and the age of the quarterback, right?
Right.
We know the age and contract status of the afternoon drive guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, he's right. I mean, once we all get that, I mean, I just had the thing done last year, the colonoscopy. But, you know, Mike's at that age now, he's got to go in. It's not fun. You crap your pants, you know, 4 straight weeks. You can't eat anything the night before. I'm Italian. We get spaghetti and meatballs at home, and you know me, I get a locker full of food in there. The power shakes, they clog you up like crazy. You got the Metamucil. You want some soup? Why do you think I ate so much soup? Like a soup Nazi. They want that Star Market's done. It's got a pretty good grab and grow over near the hot bar. Yeah, for what we pay in taxes in the town I live in, I try and save some money on the food. Why do you think I buy so much stuff on Amazon?
Zoe's cadence on Maz is stunningly good.
Scary. I'm a chronic. You listen all the time. You know?
Oh, my God. It's so good. The speed, the spacing, the cadence, all of it. Wow.
Yeah.
Radzik said the biggest thing that's evolved for him is his reputation is just being a contrarian. I think he's established himself as the number one sports talk show host in the country. You could disagree with him. You may not like his angle, but people have respect for his opinions because the audience has evolved with him. Maz?
What's the definition of a contrarian? Yeah, I mean, I went to Tufts. We covered it.
The best thing about
both of us with this show, and I'm being honest here, and I'm moving my hands because I am Italian and I talk fast with my hands. The best thing I think that has helped us is we both covered the beat. You know, me being a baseball guy, Mike's done a good job with the Patriots and the football part of it. So we know what hot button issues what we should be talking about from the second we wake up in the morning. So the email process is really a pretty easy one because I think we're all on the same page, but Mike just does a good job of organizing all the segments of the show, and it makes Jimmy's job easier.
I thought you were going to go with, what's the definition of a contrarian? Murray, look up the definition of contrarian for
me. Google it.
Oh, so good. Good job, Zo.
All right. Man.
Good job.
We love Matt.
Hey, did you hear about Oscar De La Hoya trying to make a comeback?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want that one?
I don't know if I'd want it. I mean, I want Tyson more than him.
So would See, I remember, that's my first thought. What the hell happened to Tyson's comeback?
Good name draw, De La Hoya, right? Good name draw, just too flamboyant. Not enough swinging. You know what shocked me when you looked at this? When I looked
flamboyant
at this in the notes?
How, by the way?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. You know, you get in there, you fight, you mix it. The one that shocked me is... No, I'm doing Maz now. This is like...
Yeah.
It's like Shawshank. I can't get out of it. 39-6 is De La Hoya's overall record. I didn't realize he lost 6 matches. That's a lot for that type of guy, that type of name. Or is it just he's been around that long and eventually you're going to get popped? Hardy, you mentioned it too. You thought he'd have a little more wins in there, right? Like 40, 50 wins, 50-6, something
like that.
Well,
I thought he would have more, just more fights.
Yeah.
Because he just seemed to be around for so long and I think the idea of any boxer returning to the ring is a bad one. And I know there are success stories. I know Foreman did it. I know Foreman came back to regain the title. I get that it can be done, but it just seems like such a dangerous prospect. And, you know, we're talking about this with Tyson. Yeah, who wouldn't want to see Tyson again? But we're not going to see Tyson again. So I'd see Tyson for 3 rounds, and after that, I don't think any of us want to see it. I think.
But even Foreman, you remember Foreman when he came back? It was sluggish. Like every punch he'd throw, boom, you'd just see the blubber just shake throughout the body. Boom, boom. And it was deliberate and slow. It was like a cartoon boxer. But he was effective. He was so damn big.
Well, let's see. Let's all come up with a name. Who should unretire and make a comeback?
Ooh.
It seems to be something that's popping up now that people have a lot of time on their hands. Do you think we could solicit the callers for that as well?
I would rather do calls on one name to come back, rapid fire.
Well, like Caller's Delight.
Like a Caller's Delight.
Caller's Delight.
Caller's Delight. Caller's Delight.
Okay, Caller's Delight themed. Themed
nice.
Edition, once again. Serious. Give us serious answers.
What's the question again?
Plausible answers.
A retired
Which
athlete
you... would you like to see unretire and make a comeback?
Okay.
Let's get to that. Let's do that next. Get on the line. We'll go rapid fire. We'll go Caller's Delight style. We will fire up the Caller's Delight. Athletes you want to see make a return. And give us real ones. Give us ones that are plausible. We'll do that next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caller's Delight.
Caller's Delight.
Caller's Delight. Load them up.
Okay, the question is, which athlete would you like to see make a comeback, come out of retirement, and play once again? Anybody want to throw any names in there before we do this?
Yeah, I got one. Mario Lemieux.
That's sort of old, dude. He's not going to be able to play.
I know
Calvin
he's old,
Johnson.
But like, you can't pick a...
Calvin
Don't
Johnson,
say Barry
get
Sanders
him back in the
party.
League.
There you go.
Why do all the Detroit
again,
players
that's too
quit?
Old.
I know.
because it's
plus
so
football.
Awful
it's hard for football to play. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the calls. Tommy in Foxborough. Tommy.
Scott Solak.
Okay. What's up? Nice.
Mike in Boston. Mike.
What's going on?
Hi.
How's it going on?
Doing all right. I'm a little upset. I just got my guy taken, Calvin Johnson. I figured he retired in his prime. He was on a shitty Lions team.
Oh.
Hey. Swearing.
We've got our first bad word.
Can't say that. Can't say pimp.
Justin.
Hey, guys. I was going to say Calvin Johnson, too, but I got another one. Andrew Luck.
Yes. Oh, good one, too.
Oh, that's a good
Andrew
one.
Andrew Luck.
All right.
It's a good
oh,
one.
Luck.
Yeah.
He's got to come back.
I don't want him.
He quit. He got to come back.
No desire. No fire.
Craig and Tingsboro.
Look at
Craig.
Press conferences.
Give me a good $50 pay-per-view with Mike Tyson, baby.
Absolutely. I'd pay for that.
Three rounds.
Been through that. It's okay. I'd drop him in three.
Danny and Bellingham. Danny.
Mike Tyson.
Randy Moss and Bobby Bonilla. Bobby's still getting paid $1.1 million per year till 2035. It's unbelievable.
Yes, payment's actually coming up next week. He gets that check next Wednesday. Every
nice.
Year. Mike in North Attleboro. Mike.
What's up, guys? I think A-Rod should come back with the new DH in the NL and try to get number 700. What do you guys think of that?
He sucked.
I'd take A-Rod over Bonilla.
He was not good.
Yeah, but juice
hey, but you got the DH in the National League now, you know, and it's only going to be a short season. He only needs a couple.
Yeah, actually, that could be fun. You can't come back. This might be the season to do it. Get out there. See if you can hit some dingers.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Do it. Trevor in Rehoboth.
It's not my name.
I think the
Trevor.
Phones are seizing up on us here.
Trevor!
Hey, guys. What's
hey,
going
Trevor.
On? What do you think about Conor McGregor? Is that a serious retirement or just kind of like a publicity stunt?
Wait, he's retired? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he retired again. It's like his second or third time he's retired.
Who?
That doesn't
I can't,
count.
It sounds like you're eating your tongue.
Conor McGregor.
Who is it?
Conor McGregor.
Done with that stuff.
I can't hang up, and I can't take another call, it appears. Oh, now I can.
Nice.
Chad. Can't pick up the phone.
Jim will get him. Jim, get Chad.
Chad, let's go to Chad next, yes.
What's good, guys? Mariano Rivera.
Okay.
Think he'd be any good? No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Ian in New Bedford. Ian. Maybe not.
Ian.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm going to say Vince Carter. I think he needs one more game, kind of like how Magic came back to play the All-Star game. There I know it's go. Different circumstances, but I'd go Vince Carter.
Not a bad one. That's actually a fun one. Don't hate that. Nick, who's in Quincy. Nick.
Hey, is this T-Bone?
Yeah, it's T-Bone. What do you got? Hey,
what's good? That's Nick the bartender from Quincy. I got a throwback play I want to see. I want to see come back.
Who is it?
Does that work?
Yeah,
Brady
who is
Anderson.
It?
Oh, he left.
Brady Anderson hit another 50 home runs.
Okay, Nick. Thanks.
All right.
That was never screened. You just answered that one on the fly.
Is that what happened?
I just asked Hardy, does Caller's Delight suck again?
It does.
Well, Caller's Delight sucks when the phones don't work again.
No, it depends what the topic is. The
content's not that great this time.
How quickly
it's,
we
it's
can
like,
move
you know
here.
What? It, here's the problem. We all thought it was a good idea, and then when you think about it for literally 30 seconds, you get past Calvin Johnson.
No, stop it. We had a good one last week, and you know it.
No. For this particular topic, there's only a
good.
Couple that make sense.
I mean, this is a swing and a miss. That's okay.
All right, shut it down then. Let's go.
Yeah.
Today's takeaway.
How hot is it outside? Are
coming
people's
up next.
Brains fried?
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Opening live appointments now. You can get into Awaken 180 right now, six locations locally, or you can also do the option of the virtual online program. We'll coach you up right there at home, drop weight the very first week, up to 8 pounds. Check it out at awaken180weightloss.com. Summer's here, baby. All right, Beetle, what do you got there?
First, we start with this. Last hour, NASCAR President Steve Phelps had a teleconference with the media and announced that the investigation into the garage pull rope formed as a noose that was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega has been completed. Phelps said that NASCAR conducted a thorough sweep of all of the garage areas, not just at Talladega, but at all 29 tracks
Wow.
at which NASCAR holds races. That totals 1,684 garage stalls that are used in NASCAR. 1,684, nearly 1,700 garages. Do you know how many garages of those nearly 1,700 they found a pull-down rope tied to the door and tied in a knot?
I'm going to go with one.
11.
11?
They found 11 garages of their 1,684 that had a pull-down rope tied in a knot. And they only found one noose.
No, I mean, it was the one. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And it was the one they found in the garage for Bubba Wallace. They have not only announced that they went through 1,684 garages, but they found that one in that garage, and they've released a photo of it. Like we were saying yesterday, they should. They have done that. It is not similar to those other pictures that some other people have floated and circulated. NASCAR determined that the noose was not in the garage prior to October of 2019, but it was unable in their investigation to determine with any certainty who it was that tied the rope in this manner or why it was that it was done. And that is the end of their investigation today in NASCAR. That's what you get. So I would say any of those questions or theories have sort of been answered, I think, Hardy. I think that means that the questions on that front have been answered. It appears that not every garage has one because they checked all of them.
Except
all
for the,
all 1,684.
Except for the question about who tied it and when and why. And I think those are the questions that, unless those are answered, neither side is going to be completely satisfied.
Yeah, and I mean, Bubba's statement, too. I mean, he was pretty good on it. You know, whether it's, hey, it got us talking about this again, whether this is true or not. And, you know, to save some embarrassment on all sides. I mean, you look at it, it's pretty clear what it is. And the positioning of it, how did someone not see this when, okay, we're going into the garage, we're going to get him ready to race. What the hell's that? You know? Why was it allowed to be there to where Bubba had to walk in and see it?
He didn't see it.
He didn't.
Oh,
he
didn't
see it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
He never did see it.
Thank God.
And it apparently was there since last year.
So they're explaining pretty easy to understand why it is someone might walk in there and say, "What the hell is this? Are you kidding me?" Right. You know?
Yeah, it's not a normal knot. No. Nope.
It's not a normal everyday occurrence in those garages.
No, that thing's perfectly tied.
So that was their answer on that today. We also had a new song on the show today from our friend Tom in Worcester.
Yeah, he texted me.
Who is still planning on bringing you your piles of wood, from what I understand.
Yep. He's very worried what I think of the song. I told him it's a good song. It's fine. I'll be here waiting for him.
All right, let's get to it.
I was listening to Midday. It was Beetle and Zoe. They were talking about Hardy, my favorite guy on the show. I learned that Beetle and Hardy, yeah, they're super best friends. And that Zoe's just a third wheel when the silly show ends. Hey, it's Beetle and Hardy, Zoe circles the drain. Their wives like double dating, and they both share one brain. They're psychically connected, they're sympathetical. Yeah, it's Laurel and Hardy, and they just tolerate Joe.
It's so unkind.
Song of the summer, as they say.
It's a wonderful production and a great performance, but it's hurtful, and I cannot endorse it for the hurt feelings it's causing. I can't do it. So,
I'm fine.
No, what you text with the composer, the songwriter, the man behind it, Tom and Worcester. You said, yep, you were texting back and forth with him. What was said?
Pull it up right now.
Yeah, I mean, you already told us. You told him it was a good song. What did he say?
Okay, Tom and Worcester. You know I love you, Zoe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That song wrote itself after the Hardy Beatle Love Fest yesterday on air.
Right.
I'm still bringing you the wood, whether you like it or not. I lined a bunch up this morning, in fact. You're the best. 16 forever.
Oh, wow.
That's where we're at. Maybe we'll be best friends. I'd rather be friends with the cop, man.
You know, you can't have a guilt trip like that when you're an artist, you know? If you're Tom and Worcester, you just...
Does it bother you that, like, he could sell a boat by himself?
Yeah.
He's a world-class painter. Like, have you seen his artwork, how good his artwork is?
He's a Renaissance man.
Yes.
He could sing, he could strum, he could hum a tune. He could help serve and protect, and, you know, he does it all.
Yeah, probably.
He probably doesn't even eat donuts.
Yeah. And it seems like in the order you just listed. So it's...
I love when he's just singing in his cruiser, sitting there.
Microphone sounds great, by the way.
The mic sounds great. Know. He told me technically what he did to it. Now
it's better than Dan Roach's. Tell you that.
I'm looking into making an adjustment myself. Oof.
Beetle, I talked to our good friends at Channel 4. I'm like, if you guys like, my man Beetle went and bought one of his own mic so he could do some TV, and I said, you guys, we've sent him four mics. They said it's his Wi-Fi. his computer's so bad.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you using the wood for? Is it just for the outdoor fire pit?
Fire pit. I'm going through it pretty fast.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fires there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You guys won't see him. Tom,
okay. I didn't write this song. I told you I don't.
Right. I do some s'mores. Me and Tom, we might have some s'mores.
Good. S'more, you guys, what? Have a great time.
We might invite Mads over. You never know. Mads
should
be here by 6:35.
That'd be nice. Baseball Reporters is going to be back soon. I heard July 21st making its big return.
Mads' kids can eat now. It's good.
Felger and Mads are next. We're back tomorrow on a Friday.
Yeah.
Let's do it. See you then.
All right.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, June 25th. Felger here on location, back in the home studio, as is Maz. Big Jim Murray setting up in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Fellas, how you doing?
Good, you?
Good.
Peachy, thank you so much. Fresh as lettuce, as we like to say. I want to start off talking with some NBA stuff. Because our very own Jimmy Stewart, I think, has a little bit of reporting as well, some stuff percolating across basketball, and more antsiness, I would say, Maz, to sum it all up, more antsiness with players, executives, coaches, more antsiness from the NBA world about going into that bubble in Orlando. Before I read from the stories, you have a generic thought on that?
Well, so I'm really not all that surprised by this, and I'm surprised by some of the particular people, I guess, but I'm not surprised by it overall, because I have felt all along that these guys, let's go, play. And then when it comes time to walk out that door, and I've said this a million times, and I'll continue to say it until I see everyone show up, I think people get, skittish, and I think that